the Lonely Office, your playbook for navigating the messy line between work and life. Our topics are sourced from real, anonymous workplace conversations happening within Glassdoor communities. From bosses that hold you back to promotions that you don't even want, we discuss timely work-life issues so you don't have to brave the professional world alone.
We got another hit on our hands with Lori, marketing manager.
It's funny, this story with Lori right. and this W-2 form really takes it up another level. Lori is a marketing manager, and she's been working at her job for about 1.5 years. She's put her time in. She's been there for a little bit. She was recently tasked with the responsibility to oversee the work of a new employee fresh out of college. The new employee has little to no marketing experience. Out of college. No, it's not her fault. Out of college. It's okay.
Yeah.
So first day on the job, the new employee has a question about her W-2. Lori's like, no problem. She's looking at the W-2. Something catches her attention. She sees that the new employee makes as much money as she does.
Oh.
Lori's shocked, actually. She's hurt. And she can't stop thinking about all the times in this past year and a half that her employer is saying, we value you. We will take care of you. We're your family. Well, Lori feels cheated and lied to. She can't stop thinking about this. So she musters up the courage and she decides to bring this up to her boss. Her manager says, well, how did you find out about this?
Ooh, not a good look.
She responds. She says, she asked me about her W-2 form. I'm looking at this form and I saw the numbers. I'm not a sneaky person. A week passes. Lori gets a raise.
Nice.
It doesn't end there, though. Well, it's good for Lori.
She stumbled into a raise.
She stumbled into a raise, but it doesn't end there. This caused a domino effect. The company had to give raises to multiple employees to make it right and prevent a riot from starting.
Emphasis on riot.
Lori was the domino. If they didn't stop it, they might have a riot on their hands.
Why did Lori apologize?
I've definitely heard senior management before say more than once, why are the junior employees talking about salary? We never used to talk about salary. Then you're like, oh, well, sorry. Didn't mean to break a rule, which is not a rule.
It's not a rule. It's actually the opposite. You have the right to talk about that. It struck me immediately that Lori's falling all over herself apologizing when, frankly, the company should be.
I don't think I would have the courage that Lori did. In fact, going back, looking at my past, if I could jump in the DeLorean here for a second, I've had multiple instances where I know someone's making more than me or they've been there less time. I just feel like I'm producing more. I'm doing better and someone else is making a lot more money. And I sit there with that injustice. And in the past, I didn't say a word. I just was angry every day. I didn't say much. I was afraid because I didn't want to lose my job.
Right. I recall my first job offer out of college. And almost immediately, my group of college friends at the time all came out and we compared our signed offers with each other. I don't know if it was because we were green or we hadn't been ensnared by the animal spirits of the market just yet, but we openly shared our salaries. Fast forward 5-10 years into your career, and it's surprising how difficult it can be to gather accurate salary data to compare your own to others in similar roles. What makes this all the more confounding is that we drown in a digital sea of wage data. Countless websites, including your very own, offer tools for that sort of thing. But what's abundantly clear from Lori's story and reading all the anecdotes in Glassdoor communities is that all this data doesn't really output or result in narrow or precise enough salary ranges where you can drill down to the level of your specific job. People are still being caught off guard in these gotcha moments, right? Where they learn of a junior coworker or someone at their same level being compensated more. So whose fault is all this? Is it the employees or the employers? On the one hand, and we've talked about this in the past, that laws exist which enshrine our right to gather with our coworkers and ask one another what we're getting paid, just like I did and just like maybe some of our listeners did in college. But we don't do this, not directly at least. We'll spend hours in anonymous forums researching salaries, and yet a certain social stigma persists, infecting our minds that prevents us from speaking about it out loud and in the open, even though we know we can do just that. So to kick this off, is this the fault of employers? Are they fostering workplace cultures that discourage sharing salaries openly on purpose? Maybe within this employee-employer push-pull for salary transparency, we could talk about what the right level of calibration really makes sense. Whose responsibility is it?
I definitely think it's the employer's fault, and I think it's very purposeful. This is literally what I've heard from bosses that I've had in the past, talking about junior employees who I was trying to help get pay increases. If that person's done a bad job negotiating their salary coming in, they're like, that's to the benefit of the company. And in this case, it was a woman who was making less and a man who was making more, both of whom were working under me and were up for raises and promotions, had the same output, the same background experience. I was like, this is ridiculous. They should obviously, when this raise comes, be making the same amount. And they were also like, what are they doing talking about salary? They were very irritated about it. I'm pretty sure in California, telling them to not share salary is illegal.
Maybe before we hear your take real quick, I'll read one of the threads we caught on Glassdoor. So this one is by an associate, happens to be the consulting industry. My male coworker with 1 year experience is getting paid $40,000 more than me. We started 5 months apart. What can I do about this? Some pretty helpful responses here where some of the commenters are saying like, look, don't just assume it's a gender bias issue. One particular comment really struck me. It said, 5 months in start date can mean a lot. I started earlier this year and easily made 50% more than others at my level due to starting at a time when the need for talent was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting other dynamic. Just your start date alone could spell the difference between $50,000 or salary.
For me, I just go back to Lori. I think the thing that shocked her, you mentioned that gotcha moment, Matt, in the opening. I think the gotcha moment goes to what she said about her employer saying, hey, we'll take care of you, your family. And we've talked about this. It's so important to re-examine, though, because it feels like a breach of trust. In the same thing that you were saying, Leah, about people were saying, well, why are they talking about salaries? What do we think this is? We're here making money. So like, of course, they're going to talk about jobs. Well, we don't talk about money. My thought is, I know that gotcha moment for Lori. She had to discover this through a W-2 form. It's like finding like a napkin or a handkerchief with perfume in the laundry. And you're like, oh my God, they're cheating. It just feels like a breach of trust. So I think that's where it feels like your employer is just kind of being sneaky and doing it purposely. And that sucks. That goes against what they profess to do.
I think this one's interesting, maybe more just to show the audience how common this is. And so in this one, I accidentally discovered the male coworkers on my team make a significantly higher salary than women. I had worked for a privately held company in a sales role for about 4 years. My boss accidentally sent me our entire sales team's commissions breakdowns, which includes bonuses as well as base salary. I let him know of the error, but not before, taking note, the four men on our team making anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 more than the four women employed in similar roles. Yes, there's some factor into performance and tenure, but I had the second highest sales performance last year. There seems to be a gender bias. I think that's a whole other dimension of this discussion, by the way, the gender discrepancy in pay. But for a moment, let's just zone in on the question that was asked, which is employer or employee responsibility. How about the mantra, where there's smoke, there's fire? So maybe the responsibility of the employee to sniff that smoke and then go seek the fire? Does the employee have any responsibility here to proactively represent themselves?
I know I talk a big game, but I'm right with you, Aaron. I've, especially early in my career, was very terrified to have conversations like that. And I do remember a former manager saying something to me along the lines of, no one's going to advocate for you as much as you are going to advocate for yourself. So if you're not advocating for yourself, no one's going to do it. I feel like I've told you guys this story before about how when a male employee left an agency I was working at, he left his offer letter in the drawer of the desk. And so when we were cleaning out the desks to take over, we realized that he was making more than everyone else. And I did not bring that to my manager, but I did have a conversation about getting a pay increase because I knew there was a precedent for me to make that much money. It's a little bit rude, really, unless you're friends with someone to be like, how much are you making?
Maybe 10 years ago or so, or 15 years ago, when sites like Glassdoor launched these transparency websites, you went from completely dark to some level of light. But the question I have is, why, in a scenario where the law is abundantly clear that it enshrines our right to have these discussions out in the open without fear of retaliation from the employer, we allow the social stigma to cloud our better judgment because it's in our interest, right? It'd be our interest to just have these conversations in the cafeteria or between meetings on Zoom.
Have you ever worked with someone, though, who was the type of person that wants to know how much everyone is making? I worked with someone like that. It didn't go both ways. They weren't telling everyone else how much they were making. They were just always fishing to see how much everyone else is making. There's got to be equity in the conversation. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good reason. It's just uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to talk about money, especially culturally, depending on where you're from. Because my husband, it's not as uncomfortable for him. He's right. European. There's a cultural difference there where he's like, ah, how much rent are you paying on this place? Which I would never ask someone.
I think that's one of the reasons why I never said anything, because without stereotyping the Midwest, I was brought up that you just didn't ask about stuff like that. Even when I was at work, there were some people from out of town or from the coast who came in. They were much more tactical, like, what's that guy making? And I was like, excuse me, please don't talk about money here. We don't believe in it. Like, you believe in it, but no one wants to say anything. So I was raised in a way. We were talking about stop signs before we started recording in Ohio, that no one goes in the four-way stops because we're too polite. Leah, that's a great point. There is a cultural or even a regional aspect to how people perceive how much they should advocate.
I think where we're netting out, what I'm hearing is that the employee should have a big stake in the game and they should be representing themselves and not just relying on stumbling into somebody's W-2 before going ahead and asking for that raise. We've talked a lot about on the show, Gen Z and maybe millennials, why they job hop so frequently after 6 months. And the reason why is because precedents like the one we're talking about, where employees with longer tenures are being treated worse when it comes to compensation due to the nature of pay secrecy in some workplace cultures like Lori's. And frankly, just like factors outside of their control, where someone who gets hired just 5 months after you because inflation is running rampant gets paid 40K, 50K more. And by the way, that 40, 50K can't be explained away due to the inflation rate. And so that precedent, that's why folks leave after 6 months. I think from that vantage point, the companies do have plenty of economic reason to actually try to bring some level of transparency. And I think we'll talk about in the back end of the show, what's the right level? There are different ways to calibrate within that spectrum.
Doesn't it feel like it's like you're a cell phone customer who's been with the company for a long time and all this, they all have the ads about people coming in, getting all the details. What about Tesla?
Tesla decided to reward their most loyal customers by lowering the price tag 20K in some circumstances, just months after people had purchased the car.
A lot of those people had been on the list waiting for their car for 6 months. Then you get the car and then a month later, the price drops. I don't know. One of the most frustrating things I've ever had to deal with as a manager is advocating for someone to get a raise. They don't get a decent raise. They leave the company because they know they deserve more. And then having to hire someone new who ends up making more than that person was asking for, because that's just what's happening with the market.
As an operator now of a small business for several years, I'm just thinking, I had a couple people DM me like, why do you even take the side of employers? It's like, I don't usually take the side of employers. I'm usually rioting, getting fired, thrown into the parking lot, okay? What I'm trying to do is have a nuanced conversation here and say, these are businesses and they need to make money. So I know for me, like, I want to pay my freelancers fairly. I want to make sure it's competitive. At the same time, my job isn't to pay them all the money they want so I go bankrupt. So tactically, Matt, when we ask that question, like, what level of transparency is fair or not fair, there's got to be a way to bridge the gap. Hey, I just want to interrupt really quick. If you're enjoying this show, please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Just takes
Aaron, yeah. That's asking too much. It's just
a couple seconds. Yeah. Just a couple seconds. Literally two. It actually takes less time than me saying this right now.
5-star rating.
5-star rating. And listen, we couldn't do this without your support, sincerely. All right, let's get back to it.
Yeah, no, totally. When we actually talk about on that spectrum of no transparency within your workplace and full transparency, what's the right level? Let's start with the no transparency. And in those scenarios, it's very common to have, frankly, just a demoralized culture. Like, there's a level of demoralization that occurs with employees. Many of us have been there before. Lori's been there. When you're in that gotcha moment and you recognize the fact that you've been paid sometimes for years under not just market, but under what a junior or someone at your level in your company, it's just demoralizing.
Yeah.
And this one thread, you know, just to kind of bring that point home, this one thread we came across, I'm demotivated and demoralized after realizing that I'm underpaid for my role. HR set everyone job postings in case we know someone looking them is for a role that I'm currently in. Turns out they are willing to pay a new person with half my year's experience, almost double what I make now. 2 weeks later, I have my annual review and it's good. I ask about my market rate for my position and I'm given a non-committal response. Since then, it's incredibly difficult to give a crap about any of this. I do my job, smile, and accommodating clients. Basically, she doesn't give a shit. She's just going through the motions. How many employee zombies do we have walking around companies right now who like...
They're quietly quitting.
They gave up months ago, maybe years ago, because the company just wasn't upfront setting some standards of pay transparency in the workplace. And that's the worst case scenario, to kind of have just a company of zombies. What makes it even worse is operators rarely understand or have the prism that the employee has within their specific team on value-added talent, where a new employee comes in and the operator thinks they're the best thing since sliced bread. They're going to be amazing for generating revenue or amazing in this regard. But the truth is, the folks on the inside sometimes have a better perspective of like actually what drives the business. And so there's nothing more demoralizing than someone like that coming in, getting paid 50, 100K more than you, double your salary, and they're less valuable for whatever product or service that the team is shipping. And so I think because of that disconnect, that makes it even worse. That just adds insult to injury.
I am thinking about how quite a few years ago when Salesforce came out and said that they were creating really strict salary bands for all of the roles within their company. I mean, there's disadvantages to that as well.
In some conversations I've had, C-suite executives, CEOs say to me, this kind of quiet quitting thing is happening. That kind of job hopping thing is happening, even with the transparency. So like, just to look at it from the other side, what I'm hearing is, hey, you know, there is transparency here. There is fair raises. We are a good culture. We do communicate. And they're still basically playing us like a fiddle.
Yeah, for sure. I do think on the flip side, so we talked about no transparency. Let's just go to the other side of the spectrum. Full transparency here for a second. That would involve a workplace culture where everybody's openly discussing salaries. Perhaps there's a version of a worksheet where people are literally like pinpointing names with salaries. That's kind of the most extreme version of it. That rarely exists, honestly. And I haven't worked for companies like that. Now, I have worked for companies where a shade lower than that exists. And that's where you get transparency by job or title. And I think it's worth talking about for the listener base here just to understand that. So in this approach of pay transparency, companies disclose salary ranges for specific job titles or functions without attaching individual names to those salaries, right? What you see in those cases is there's a range, minimum to maximum, for particular roles and titles within the organization. And in many cases, that approach or that methodology is embodied in something called a COMPA ratio, which our listeners might be accustomed to. It's basically a comparison or comparative ratio, which is a well-used ratio by companies. This is how, by the way, they determine these ranges for the salaries that you're both applying to internally or externally. The COMPA ratio, it's just calculated by the current salary for a job title or role by the midpoint of the market rate for that same role. So there's like these third-party human compensation firms and professionals who go out and say, hey, you are a senior marketing manager in this type of advertising industry. What's the midpoint of the market salary for that? That establishes kind of a baseline of sorts where you can then come up with a minimum and maximum above that midpoint. And so that's a very common framework when you see companies that do adopt full pay transparency. It gets to that level of transparency by job title or function. So that being said, that can cause issues. Leia, you're right. I mean, at that point, it's pretty easy, depending on the size of the company, to triangulate who that name is, right? And that creates a lot of pressure on the corporate brass, right? Like now all of a sudden they have an outstanding salesperson who's driving 50% of the sales. They deserve to be paid more than the rest because that same salesperson can go get a job at a competitor if you don't pay him out or you don't pay her out. And now it's very hard to push that through.
But then it's difficult, even in an industry like advertising, where you can look at how much money their business that they're working on is generating.
Right.
Is it your fault that whoever it is, you know, Clorox doesn't have a larger marketing budget next year than they did this year? Probably not. It's tricky even when you're trying to be fair and transparent.
Leia, I was thinking about this and what I was going to say was, hey, you have an opportunity for a job. You might have a job. But if someone in that competitive field is performing better than you, that's just how the world works. They're going to get paid more than you. We had this happen in Cleveland with LeBron. Sorry, Leia. LeBron's greatest player of all time. He leaves. He comes back. You're paying LeBron. I don't care if I got some scrubs on the bench. Yes, you're an NBA player. Congratulations, you're being paid so. It's LeBron James. So I see that other side of it, which is like, what are we supposed to do? Not pay LeBron because the scrub on the bench is mad? This is where the competitive side comes out. And this is where people get fired up. They're like, wait a second, I have tenure. Tenure is not always a good thing. It's a factor, but it's not always a good thing.
Right.
I don't think working in consulting is the same as an MBA.
It's akin to saying there should be a superstar clause.
An Ohtani clause.
Yeah, an Ohtani clause or superstar clause within pay transparency for corporations, where it's like, if there's a particular individual who just completely outperforms, they shouldn't fall within the guidelines or the rubric of your existing
superstar
compensation
clause.
Ratio plan for the other employees. Yeah, a superstar clause. And you know what's interesting about this, my understanding of federal laws that exist, we talked about this previous shows, it was like the National Labor Relations Act that give us the right to talk about wages. There are some carve-outs there where supervisors, and that's kind of the terminology used, necessarily can't speak openly about their wages. And I think this was a nod by federal lawmakers and regulators just to say, yeah, things get a little sketchy when you go higher up the compensation bracket. So I think a superstar clause kind of makes sense. I'd like to get your take on this because we've been talking about this whole show, the phenomena of pay transparency within a corporation, but there's a whole new set of rules and laws that have been enacted just recently in the last 5 years around pay transparency for job applicants. States like New York and Nevada have these pay transparency laws, which require employers when posting jobs to put minimum and maximum ranges for those jobs. And I found it interesting that there's so much regulations around that, but there's not really much regulations at all around requiring companies internally to list how much jobs explicitly are being paid, min and max ranges. There's no requirements there for existing companies to do it internally. That being said, companies are skirting these laws too, right? They're putting ranges that fall for the same title, $100,000 or $200,000 differences between the min and max.
I've seen some really crazy ones where there's, here it is. It's a work from home and the pay range is between $5,000 a year and $600,000 a year. We were sharing it on the group chat. We were like, what even That's is ridiculous. That? They've just like, whatever. We're not going to tell you.
This is like faux transparency.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of skirting around a commitment, skirting around transparency. Guys, I'm so conflicted. I honestly, what I've recognized myself here is like, I'm 50% Jimmy Hoffa, pro union, pro fairness, pro equity, all this stuff, pro tenure. I'm 50% that. Then I'm 50% the president and CEO of the Ayn Rand Institute, where it's like, may the best person win and everybody else is mediocre. There's these two parts in me that are just really fighting each other. So let me just for 1 second, as we come to a close here, ask, I do think it's so important. Lori did something to advocate for herself. She went and she said, hey, something's going on here. Saw the W-2, not the way I wanted to find out about it, but can we rectify this? Leah, Matt, what are some thoughtful and fair and smart tactical ways employees can ensure that they're doing their part, that they can be more like Lori and just stand up for themselves and do what I wasn't able to do early in my career?
Try to get a sense of what your friends at the company are making and what you've done an amazing job at during the year and go in there and advocate for yourself. I also think that managers should be aware of what's happening within the company and advocate for the people that are performing well and working underneath them as well, because you'll lose them and you'll have to pay somebody else more and train them for God only knows how long to just to get back up to where that person was.
Yeah. Always back to the basics, right? So understand the basic compensation methodology that's adopted at your company, right? We talked about some firms on the extreme side of the spectrum of having full transparency or by job title and function. Even if your company is not one of those, they certainly have some level of transparency around just pay scale and general criteria that determines pay, the base pay scales, bonus structures, and other factors that can influence pay adjustments. Understand that. And if your company falls within the one that does have level of transparency around job title and function, understand your compensation ratios. Understand where the midpoints for that role are coming from. You can ask your company and they'll usually say, oh, we use X compensation firm or X market research firm to determine the midpoints. Well, then go research those market research firms and see if your role is properly represented in that job description by that market research firm, and if that midpoint they're defining is proper. Actually dig into some of this makes a lot easier than when you are in that biannual review with your manager to make the point, bring out the data and say, I'm being paid below midpoint of the market rate for my role. You don't have to rely on stumbling upon a W-2, you know, for your junior. That's an important point because you're not even asking for a raise at that point. You're asking for a correction, right? The manager almost 100% of the time will hear you out. You might not get the outcome you want, but there will be no egg on your face at all for approaching them.
In that situation where you find out you're being way underpaid for your company, for the market, whatever it is, and the company's not going to do anything about it. So you're going, you're interviewing with other places. Is that the situation where it's okay to fib about your current salary? You definitely shouldn't be sharing your current salary if you're being grossly underpaid and interviewing somewhere else. Because a lot of HR or a lot of companies will push you to share your current salary.
I always feel like there's enough room to navigate in the gray legally and morally where you don't have to lie. You can call this an out, a way of getting to the same result. But like, I think there's something to be said about moral approach to some of this stuff. And so my take in that case would be you could probably represent your salary in terms of total comp. Tell the prospective job or employer, the total achievable comp at my previous job was X. And you factor in the highest paid incentive bonuses and maybe the highest band of your existing job role had you been promoted. Try to stay within the realm of truthfulness.
Why are you answering like I wasn't lying, Matt? I'm a horrible liar. I'm just trying to represent
not at all.
People who might be listening.
Matt, I'd like to see how you would react if I came into your office 10 years ago and I walked in and I said, show me the money.
Well, I would just show me the work.
Hey, you made it. Thanks for tuning into The Lonely Office. If you like what you heard, follow us on all major podcast platforms so you don't miss an episode. And make sure and tap 5 stars and leave a review. I know everyone says it, but it actually helps others like you discover the show. Remember, the topics you hear us talk about on the show are sourced from Glassdoor communities, where professionals are having candid conversations about their careers anonymously with others in their industry. To be part of that conversation, download the Glassdoor app. And when you're in the app, make sure and join the Lonely Office Bowl. That's where we are. When you're there, you can suggest a topic idea or an episode idea, or you can make it more formal and email us at thelonelyoffice@glassdoor.com. We'll catch you next time.